Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
Drakus Duplessis. Drakus Duplessis. I'm going to do that for the next 12 minutes.
Yeah. Make sure you get it right.
I'm just practicing. Coming to you live from the UFC Apex as we get ready for a phenomenal week of MMA, slap, and some good food that we're about to do as well. Matt in studio and Jimmy co-hosting here from the Apex again.
Hey, mate.
What's up? How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Not too bad. How was your fourth?
So here's a funny one. The amount of people that come up to me and say, hey, happy fourth.
Yeah.
And I always find it really strange.
That was my next thing.
I always kind of find it so strange because it literally is a day celebrating kicking
you're
the
lost.
Likes of me out.
Right. You're lost.
And pouring our tea into the ocean. I'm like...
I was going to say, do you even celebrate it?
No, I love it. I love living it here. And it's great because the banter that flies on a fourth, especially around some servicemen that I know, They're pretty brutal with me. It's only the one day.
I saw a meme that said, enjoy your work day, England. Matt, what did you do yesterday on the 4th?
Just the family thing. Typical, appreciative of the freedoms that we all enjoy because of the sacrifice by many, many people before me. So just a great day with the family.
I boarded a plane, got here late, grabbed a little snack, and then got up for, like I said, what's going to be a fun, long couple days. And, you know, have you seen the commercial where that actor plays, like, Dr. Phil? And, you know, the person who sneaks food into the movie or
no.
The person who... You ought to see these commercials. And it's for an insurance company.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen
right?
that. Yeah, it's great.
And you and I have talked about it. And there's one where they're walking into a big arena, and the guy goes, we need to park towards the back so that we can get easy to get out. And the quote-unquote Dr. Phil is like, let's go and enjoy it first. Let's go. That's me. So Steve and I, as we're driving to the Apex, I'm already working on my exit plan on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
The day hasn't even started. I'm like, we have to strategically park the car so we can get to the airport so we can get out of here. But let's run down real quick what's about to go down. Drakus Duplessis will be here.
Very good, momentarily. By the way.
You know I'm going to butcher it when he's
very
sitting
good.
Here.
Very good.
Jason Knight will do his weekly update on last night's Ultimate Fighter. Nico Price is going to stop by. Big fight for him.
Yes. And I believe the final fight for Robbie Lawler. So it's going to be a lot of eyes on that one.
And you know what I was kind of hoping, and they won't, obviously, but Robbie Lawler, Rory McDonald going into the fight wing.
Yeah.
Of the Hall of Fame, which I say, and I'm going to say it to my friends as well, because some of them are in the UFC fight wing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
I'm strong in that.
Yeah.
I would like them to add that, on Thursday. They won't. If the fight happened Wednesday, today,
gotcha.
Maybe they would have.
Yeah.
But it'll give them another night in a year or two.
It's a polarizing argument, the Hall of Fame thing. You know, I was actually looking through the Hall of Fame, all the people that have been in the Hall of Fame and have been put in, and I actually thought I'm going to bring this up on the show, because the modern wing of
right.
fighters that's in, I'm looking down the list, and I think Forrest Griffin was the very first entrant into there. But you look down the list and there's some that you go, absolutely, and then there's some that you go, I'm not quite sure. And it's amazing what denotes you getting into the Hall of Fame, especially in the fight world.
But it's in everything. Matt, you and I talk about this. It's not the Hall of Fame. It's the Hall of Pretty Good.
Well, I mean, have you guys seen that hormone replacement company that Frank Thomas, and they put in Doug Flutie, and they introduce him as Hall of Fame quarterback Doug Flutie. I'm like, really? Like, Doug Flutie, the Hall of Fame quarterback?
All right, I'm going to get myself beat up and I'm going to piss off a very good friend of yours here in a second. And out of respect, I didn't respond because I love the guy. Chris Lytle, I love Chris Lytle.
Yeah.
You know, we do a lot. He's one of my favorite human beings on planet Earth. But a local friend of ours, radio, says UFC legend Chris Lytle.
Yeah.
Chris Lytle's not a legend.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing. You have to have done something legendary. You know, I'm looking through the thing. I remember having this conversation about Michael Bisping going in. And I said, absolutely. I said, why? I said, because the reason I got into this sport was because of him. There was no one. I mean, maybe Dan Hardy, and you had Paul Daly at the time, but he was the guy. And he fought and had these battles and all this kind of stuff to win the title. And I'm thinking, he literally pioneered the sport in Britain, and it's now obviously huge over there, especially in Europe. But it's amazing, the certain people that you just go, yes, 100%, sure. Legend. That's a, you know, good word. And then there's others that you kind of go, eh, good fighter.
Yeah.
You know, don't want to be disrespectful, great fighter. But legend, not quite sure.
I thought Michael Bisping went in for receiving the bomb from Dan Henderson. I love
can't,
Michael Bisping.
Can't say bomb.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm going to get it off again. Real quick, Michael Bisping story as we wait for Drakes Duplessis.
Very good.
We did a huge fundraiser for Ryan Bennett, was a partner owner of MMA Weekly. We might have talked about this back in the day. And fighters went above and beyond in donations. And Michael Bisping donated, and I have said something to him on the air, and I've said stuff to him personally. Michael Bisping won the Ultimate Fighter, as you know, and donated his gloves and had no clue who Ryan Bennett was.
Right.
That's a super stud.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to help. The gloves didn't mean much to him.
Yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's I'm thankful for all the people that knew Ryan and stuck up and helped and benefited. Yeah. But here's a guy from across the pond, across the pond, didn't know Ryan Bennett from a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Or I could have used the one when I fired my insurance agent recently.
Oh.
And we're getting in an argument back and forth, and I said, I couldn't pick you out of a lineup. He didn't like when I said that. You've done nothing for me. I couldn't pick you out of a lineup. I'm going to somebody else. Kind of the Michael Bisping, you know, with Ryan Bennett. So down the rest of the schedule after Nico Price, what an episode last night of The Ultimate Fighter. Ha ha ho ho, Conor McGregor. Kurt Hollibaugh will be on. Val Woodburn stepping in on 5 days' notice.
Something else that
to take on Bo Nickel,
and he is huge for the weight. I couldn't believe when that was announced a few days ago that, you know, there was a dropout. First of all, kudos to him for stepping in against someone like Bo Nickel. That is, you know, there's a lot of noise about this guy, and quite rightly so. You know, to step into onto the main card, the UFC, it's his UFC debut, and to step in at this short notice. But I couldn't believe it because, you know, unfortunately, I'd never really come across the guy before. So obviously, when you're doing the show, you're trying to look and get some information and look into the career and whatnot. And when I saw the picture, I was like, this boy is enormous. I'm very eager to meet him just to see if he's as big as he looks on the cameras. So he will be very difficult to take down. I know that much.
And then we're going to step outside of MMA at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, as we welcome Bill McConnell, who happens to have an office here at the Apex, and he is with the Las Vegas Super Bowl committee, because it's never too early to start planning February.
Exactly.
There'll be a lot of fun things to do
in
February.
It's going
to
be this city has just exploded with the Formula One coming, and then obviously the Super Bowl in February.
I thought you were going to go a different way, and explosion we're not allowed to say in today's world either, but the explosion of construction.
Oh, Vegas, it's unbelievable.
It's brutal.
Trying to drive anywhere is just like wacky races.
I got lost trying to drive to the house because you can't get on. And then we're going to finish it up with Alonzo Menafield on the card Saturday night. Press conference later today, Q&A's with some of the slap fighters.
Amazing. Can't wait for that.
We will be in attendance on Friday. I can't wait for that.
I cannot wait. It's my first experience of it. It looks just ridiculous fun. I love it.
You know, and it's like anything, you know, whether you watch a concert on TV, it's different when you're there.
Sure.
You know, you watch a football game, you know, even all the way up to the Super Bowl, until you're there, it's totally different. You know, seeing you guys perform on YouTube and then seeing you in person. Well, we are going to see the slap action on Friday, so that'll be cool. Let's go hit a real quick break, and then we will come back and we will welcome Drakus Duplessis in 3-3. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Rancic from The Apprentice, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris, and you're fired.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Mickey Hatcher from the California Angels. Are we the Anaheim Angels or the California?
Anaheim, yeah.
Okay.
Used to be.
Okay, yeah. This is Mickey Hatcher from the Anaheim Angels, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Hello again. Hello. Hello again.
Make us Duplessis. Drakus Duplessis. Drakus Duplessis.
Hope not outside.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm still going to butcher it. Did you hear that liner? Did you happen to pay attention to it?
No.
It was one of the funniest liners I ever got. So Mickey Hatcher was the manager of the California Angels.
Right. What sport's that?
That's baseball.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you were becoming a baseball fan a couple years ago.
The California Angels.
Exactly. So they changed their name.
Is it Los Angeles now?
Well, I think it's the...
Anaheim
Angels of Los Angeles or something stupid.
Oh, really? Okay, name. Got you.
So he does the liner, and his PR guy goes, Mickey, remember we changed the name. And it's on the clip. It's just classic. Brilliant. It's something that you would have done there, Matthew.
Well, it's hard with all these merging. I mean, with Endeavor buying everything, these names are changing, and it's easy to get tongue-tied when you're doing liners.
Okay.
I can see it. I mean, it's a name change. That's hard.
Last night's Ultimate Fighter, Conor McGregor, 0-6.
Yes.
0-6.
I mean.
And I'm not really rooting. Yes, I am. I'm rooting against him, which is unfortunate because then that means I'm rooting against his fighters, which the fighters didn't do anything.
I just, what's dawned on me in this, as we were just saying just off air, you know, the Ultimate Fighter is a reality TV show. Let's not forget that. However, they are real blows. These are guys looking for their shot. This is a real life-changing moment, regardless of it being a television show. And I just think, from a viewer's point of view, I think Chandler has been brilliant. I think the way that he's coached, I think the way that he seems to have mentored the fighters and cared about them. And then the other side of it, you know, when you're hearing stories of Conor not coming in to do the weigh-ins or to be at certain training sessions, I don't know. You're dealing with someone's dream. I don't think it's a time for your ego, if I'm being honest. But I think Chandler himself, I think, has come out of this really, really well. He's come across well. He speaks well. He's very well educated in the sport, obviously. And I think that's shown with the amount of success his team has had.
Matt, did you watch?
I did not, no.
Okay.
But I agree. I agree 100% with Jimmy. But I saw this coming. I mean, Conor's always traveling the globe. He's got so much on his plate. I was worried about that in the beginning of how's he going to have time to really mentor these prospects. It would have been better if they would have split the teams up where you have some experienced guys that would be there to help and do what Jimmy's talking about of making these dreams come true.
Now, with that said, at least last night's episode, it showed Conor training with them and,
sure,
and doing stuff with them. But, you know, I agree. I think that he should have been there for everything, especially because they're, you know, the potentials and not the veterans. You know, they need to be coddled maybe a little bit
more.
Yeah,
of course. The situation is a high-pressure sort of situation. And like I said, it is a television show. We can't forget that. But like I said, people's dreams and health is on the line. And I think sometimes there's just a little bit too much of me, 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 rather than them, if you know what I mean.
Well, and I'm going to ask Jason when he comes on, who fights next week, who I believe is Michael Chandler's number top seed.
Yeah.
What the pressure on him is, you know, leading up to, because, again, we don't know about next week. You know, your team is 6-0. You're the one seed.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go in there and lose next week.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but if Conor loses next week, it's going to be must-see television, judging by what happened last night.
You know, and let's be honest, it's reality TV.
Oh, yeah, of course. And he's very good at selling the show. Don't get me wrong.
And I've always said that, you know, in order to be really successful, you need to be loved and to be hated.
Listen, you can't fault the guy. He's polarizing. He's entertaining. You know,
true story, Matt. True story, because you were there.
Yeah.
So we were on Matt on his gimmick on the back of his Jeep. He's training Travis Thompson at a boxing gym where Winky Wright was out of.
Yeah.
What are some of the other names there?
Left Hook Lacey, Jeff Lacey, Keith Thurman, yeah. One time.
Keith Thurman.
Yeah.
You know, so big time guys, right? So we're on the south side of St. Pete, not the nicest of neighborhoods in the world. Travis is up on the apparatus on the GNAT, and this lady walks by, looked homeless. Not that there's anything wrong with
it. Yeah.
I'm just saying she looked homeless. Tip, you know, hey, do you have a dollar? Hey, do you have a cigarette? You know what this lady yelled? Conor McGregor. Are you kidding me?
Well, there you go.
What? Right?
I mean,
there's no doubt he's the biggest in the sport. There's no doubt he's global, that everybody knows him from the streets to the White House and everyone in between. But I just thought he was the wrong choice to be a coach and a mentor for this season of The Ultimate Fighter.
Well, I'm going to disagree only in this aspect, which is probably why they did it. A lot of people have thought it's starting to get stale. You know, they try to throw different things in, the veterans versus this, blah, blah, blah. Any person that wasn't going to watch is watching because of Conor. And then you're able to see a good fight or pick something up. But Conor is selling the show.
And also, there's a thing where The Ultimate Fighter, when the first sort of 10 seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, you had different kind of characters. You had old school characters, sort of pre-social media characters, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So they could be a bit looser with what they said, how they behaved, blah, 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 blah. Now you're talking about how these highly tuned athletes that have got sponsorship deals and they don't want to say the wrong thing. And lots of them, and it can come across as a little, I wouldn't say stale, because I always loved the show.
Sure.
But I get what you mean. You throw a Conor in there and you go, well, listen, let's throw the matches into the gasoline and see what happens.
You're going to watch waiting for what happened last week. Now, granted, they've shown that clip for six straight weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't know when that really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing with reality. And we talked about the Matt Hughes and what they did to him. And, you know, this could have happened weeks ago and they finally used it. But, I mean, you've got 1-4 next week. And I don't want to assume, but let's say he's 7-0. If Chandler wins the next 2 weeks, Connor's done. Now it's all straight Chandler and all of his fighters.
Yeah, and that doesn't look good.
Watching, we all remember, or most of us would remember, when Quentin, you know, punched the door and ripped the door off the hinges.
Yeah.
If Connor loses the next 2 weeks, he may look for the door.
Well, I mean, because at the end of the day, it's actually not great for his brand, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, it literally is not, it doesn't, and I'll tell you one thing that I actually did agree with Conor McGregor, and I've watched The Ultimate Fighter this season, the amount of times it's gone to a decision when it was clearly, let's have a third round. So there's been several moments where that happened, and you kind of go, look, this is tight, this is the competition, let it go to the third round. There's a couple of times when I would sort of, I wouldn't say dodgy decisions, tight decisions, where in this situation, it deserved having one more round to seal the deal.
All right, let me slide my chair to the right so I'm, you know, one punch away from you, and you know I won't land. As a licensed judge in the state of Florida, no, I disagree.
Okay.
You know, it's just like they interviewed a baseball umpire and said, what would you do, full count, bottom of the ninth, perfect game? And the ball's just a little outside, which would mean ball four, and it's not a perfect game. He goes, it's ball four. You can't change because it's close.
Yeah, but I think, but I disagree in the sense that I think the standard of judging across the board is actually pretty poor right now.
I agree.
Not only in MMA, in boxing as well. There's a lot of people that don't have the experience to really watch an MMA fight and understand what someone's trying to do in every situation. And I just think there was a couple of moments where it was so close.
All right, schedule's going to get thrown off a little bit, and that's obviously fine. Somebody is sitting down that I think I've met once or maybe 10,000 times. And let's welcome to the program, Nico Price.
What's up, y'all?
What's up?
How you doing?
Good to see you. This is Jimmy, Nico.
Hey, how you doing, Jim?
Pleasure to meet you.
Matt's in the studio, so you can hear
him. What's up, Matt?
What's up, hybrid? What's up, baby?
Chilling.
I know you don't need anything to get hyped up. I mean, we know that. But this is a pretty big deal, this fight on Saturday, for many, many reasons.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, I figured you were going to say, no, why? What's the big deal?
No, I get to fight Rob on his going out dance, you know, and I know he's coming to get it, so I plan on coming to get it too.
You know, you've talked before when you've had some fights like this, and, you know, you respect, and, you know, we all respect Robbie, but do you have to kind
of,
like, ignore, you know, you don't feel bad for him, you know? Robbie needs to go out. This is you talking, not me. Mm-hmm. Robbie needs to go out on a loss. There's nothing I can do about it. Oh, well.
I'm not going to lose, man.
Right.
As simple as that. I'm going in there to give it everything I got every time, and I'm going to spread God's name when I get the mic after when I win.
Do you have to forget the whole storyline?
Oh, no. I can look right at him and know exactly who he is.
So
I'm coming to get it.
Yeah.
Are you gonna scarf the gloves up when he puts them down, too? You can auction those off, too.
No. I will not auction these ones.
For those people that will be watching this fight, and you know, are not necessarily huge MMA fans. Mm. I mean, tell the gang, you know, how did you start? What was the inspiration when you first put the gloves on? What, you know, what fighter did you look at and think, I want to do that? Was there anyone that had that kind of inspiration to you to make you want to be in this crazy world?
Honestly, the first time I saw a fight was Rampage versus Wanderlei and Pride,
right?
And I was like, those dudes are crazy. I would never do this. And then, well, we all know how that turned out. Now I'm one of those crazy dudes.
Hello. Yeah.
I was 16.
16?
Yeah, that's when I saw that. And then I was like, I was just focused on football then. I went to be a cop after high school,
right?
And go to the academy. I went to a gym to learn how to, like, defend myself because I work in jail.
Yeah.
So I was like, I gotta be able to fight somebody, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I saw people sparring in the back, and I walked back there, and I was like, yo, I get to do that, right? And they're like, yeah. So I went out there, I got dropped, and then I knocked the dude out, and then I was like, oh, I don't want to be a cop no more. Because I understand now. And then from there, that day on, I was like, I'll be here.
I want to do this. I love it. I love it.
Go ahead, Matt.
Nico, so obviously you're down in Florida, down here with the heat wave that we're in currently. But I know you went up north to Wisconsin for your training camp. And talk about that with Duke and you know, Rufus Motorsport up there. And like, what was it like? What was the camp like?
It was fun, man. I got to do a lot of sparring with Jordan Newman. He's one of the top guys in there, 85er, and he fights in Bellator. And he's a southpaw, so that's why we went up there to work with him a lot. I got to work with also Ben Askren over at the Askren Academies. So he has like 6 wrestling academies out there, and he produces like all the top wrestlers in that area. Mm-hmm. So I got to work a lot with Ben too. That was fun. And Duke was just giving me Duke knowledge, you know, like being tough with elbows, grabbing the head, throwing the knees, you know, the good Thai stuff and the exciting things.
How much does training change depending on who you're fighting? You know, Robbie's a different character.
Oh, a different animal.
You know, do you just like rewatch where his lips hanging down and get you more motivated?
Oh, yeah. I have that.
I figured you did.
You know, like when I fought Vicente, I couldn't see half the fight, you know, and then when they tried to look at my eye, I was trying to hide my eye. I was like, what do you mean? There's nothing wrong. You know, pointing away from him, looking away. They weren't even asking me how many hands are up. I was like, 2.
Yeah, that's where the Rocky Balboa taps you on the back of the head.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Listen, so is it true you've got 6 children?
I was just going to say, yes. Is your wife pregnant again? Children.
No, she's not.
I should have started with that.
Well, I mean, I go, how do you live with, first of all, 6 children? I just, that must be crazy. But then dedicate your life to the sport and all that. You must never sleep.
No. No.
Never. What age is
he? Well, obviously, he's not always asleep.
I'll stay up late some nights.
Do you remember? So, what age kind of range is your children?
So, my oldest is 11. My 2 girls, 11 and 10. Then I have 3 sons that are 8, which his birthday was yesterday on the 4th of July.
Oh, happy birthday.
I had to miss Asher's birthday, but don't worry, buddy. I'm bringing you a bigger present. and then my other son, Micah, he's 5. He's about to turn 6. And then my other son, Ezra. And then my last daughter is Adelie.
Is that you done now?
Or
are
we
you,
actually
are you
had
just
a,
going for it?
We had a scare a couple weeks ago. Where I was like, I'm talking to her and I'm like, yo, something's wrong. You're not telling me something. And then it came out. She's like, yeah, I took a test, but I'm good. We're not pregnant. I'm like, all right, cool.
Woo! I always talk to fighters and I say, I couldn't imagine, you know, with a daughter and, you know, ding dong, somebody's at the door to date the daughter.
Oh,
are you planning on just having a TV outside your house and running a reel of all your fights?
Oh, no, I'm going to have the whole team over. And then they're going to have to jump in.
Do you let your children that are old enough to sort of understand what dad does for a living, do they watch the fights? Do you like them to watch the fights? Or is it, because I know a lot of fighters sometimes don't like to
expose they know life ain't easy.
Yeah.
You know, they know that daddy goes out there and he fights people for a living. But they know also that they don't just go around fighting people.
Sure.
Or saying, my daddy does this, so you better watch out. I instilled that into them a long time ago.
Yeah.
How difficult was it to instill, because I did this with my kids as well, you know, losing is part of life.
Yeah.
You know, you cry about it, you get upset about it for 30 seconds, a minute, mm-hmm. and then you move on to the next. How difficult was that?
Water on the bridge, right. You know? It's really not, it wasn't hard for me because I lost on national television. So, like, you know, I got to see it repeated over and over. Every time that person fights, I'm on their highlights because my name, I guess, is recognizable. So, and then they'll be like, oh, Dad, look, you just got dropped in that video. And I'm like, yeah, bud, you know, we don't always win, but you got to remember that.
One of the funniest stories, Mick Foley, you know, the wrestler, was talking about, you know, his children and the Royal Rumble. Have you ever watched the Royal Rumble?
Of course.
All right, that's my favorite wrestling, you know, ding, and, you know, the whole thing runs out. And they've asked his children, who is your favorite, you know, athlete in the Royal Rumble? And they never said dad.
Never.
Never said dad.
Never.
And you know why they said it? So they asked them, they go, how could your dad not be your favorite? And they said, he was in it 3 times. Mm-hmm. Mick Foley, Dude Love, and Cactus Jack, and lost all 3 times. Mm-hmm. How can I be my favorite? Well, so in the same Royal Rumble, he was in it 3 times.
Well, there you go.
And lost out.
My kids, who's their favorite fighter, and they go, oh, Conor McGregor. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, you don't even fight anymore.
See? No. I just told a story. So Matt is training Travis Thompson, you know, for his upcoming fight. You know, we're at the gym on the south side of St. Pete, and this lady walked by, no disrespect, looked homeless, was homeless, whatever. Typically, you know, they come up, hey, do you have a cigarette? Mm-hmm. Hey, can I have a dollar? Hey, do you have a beer? You know what she yelled? Conor McGregor. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
He's a polarizing chap, isn't he?
Just totally out of left field.
So, Randy, along with that, to piggyback off of that, Jasmine Jordan actually had to Google her dad at one time to figure out why everyone was so intrigued by Michael Jordan and why everyone called him the GOAT, because to her, he was just dad.
Dad,
yeah.
I get it. That's brilliant, though. That's the way it should be, you know? Mm-hmm. So listen, Saturday, after Saturday, how do you, this is a long, the weight cut, the training, you get to the fight on Sunday. What's the first thing you're kind of going to do? Do you blow out? Do you go and have a steak? Do you go and have a burger? Do you have a couple of beers? Or do you actually always just stay, I'm just going to stay in shape all the time?
I'm always fight ready.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm very consistent.
Do you have no
diet?
Yeah.
If I do anything, I'm going to go get some French style cheesecake.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of cheesecake, as you can
probably
tell.
Yeah, I like cheesecake. I got a sweet tooth.
Right, okay. I love it. That's brilliant.
The 24-hour cheesecake place.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, it's
Cheesecake Vegas Factory.
So before we run out of time, Saturday, UFC 290, some guy named Robbie Lawler versus Nico Price. Give me your thoughts on Robbie and, you know, what we can expect.
My favorite saying, don't blink. We're going to get in there. We're going to be throwing hands and who knows when someone's going to drop.
Obviously, I'm going to say this before any of you have a chance. Stupid question. I get it, okay? I know you. You know, and I know there was one fight, it ended real early, and the comment was, God, you know, all that training, you know, it happened so quick. With Robbie, do you want it to end in the first 5 seconds, first 20 seconds, or do you want to have some fun and it's Robbie Lawler?
I want it to end when God declares it's over. Simple as that.
Good answer. Love it.
Can't do anything better than that.
I love it.
As always, great seeing you. Love you, dude. Another package from 8-Man Strong. Going to send you some gear and drinks from Bucked Up Energy Drink.
You guys got the shirts, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure. I almost wore it, but I didn't want to show favoritism. Because, you know, I don't really do that. But I got a Nico Price shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know?
Oh, there you go.
The whole team got Nico Price. All right, let's go hit a quick break. More shenanigans coming to you live from the UFC Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, yo, this is Rocky Balboa. You're talking sports with Randy Harris. Hey, yo, I got the whole family over there. I got yo, Adrian, Coffin Lincoln, yo, Butkus. Hey, yo, man, how that sound, man? I don't want to sound like a Kentucky Fried idiot.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
If you've never been to Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches before, there really is no comparison. Ike's is about love first, then sandwiches, which is why they take extra special care to make sure there are great options for every kind of eater. No other restaurant in the world has more kick-ass options and endless combinations for meat lover, vegetarian, vegan, halal, and gluten-free. Dutch clutch bread paired with Ike's exclusive dirty sauce, a creamy garlic aioli toasted right into the bread, is a transcendent experience that will electrify your taste buds. Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches has been voted the best sandwiches in the world by Ike's mom. Place your order for irresistible and unforgettable sandwiches for pickup or delivery at ikesandwich.com or through the Ike's Lovin' Sandwich app.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Prentice Project. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Drakus Duplessis. Drakus Duplessis.
Perfect.
Right?
Once again, I remember last time. You got it right.
Practicing.
Last time I remember.
He's been practicing for 4 months.
I literally have been practicing, and it, I don't look at other people's stuff. Okay? I don't listen to other people's interviews. I don't do all that for reasons. I don't want people to ever say. And I happen to just try to do like 2 seconds of research. Are you as pissed as I am that people are calling you DDP?
Well, I mean, DDP, I'm okay with that, but it's not my fight name, so yeah. I prefer Stonelox. Oh, and I'm like, hey, you just got a loophole for not being able to say my name.
Exactly.
DDP, that's all that's
happening.
Yeah,
you're letting people off the hook.
And then that was my thinking. Here I've been practicing, and everybody's now, you know, dropping
like,
the ball.
No, I can just go with DDP, but no, people do respect the effort, and you know, that's the OG way of doing it.
Appreciate Thank you.
Speaking of that, we had it. So we had... about four different people asked me the same question to ask you. Stonelox, where does it come from?
So Stonelox is I don't know if it's a thing in the United States. So it's a like a very strong sleeping tablet, like you get prescribed.
Right. Okay.
And so my brother, yours truly, he's the one that came up with it. So I was 19 years old when I made my professional debut, and everybody had these names like the Punisher and the Bone Crusher, and I was like, guys, I'm not going for any of that. Come on, look at me. I'm not going to go for any of that. And you know, I didn't have anything, and I was like, my debut is in like 8 weeks. We need, come on, guys, let's put heads together. We need a name. And
yeah,
my amateur record as a kickboxing K1 fighter was 33-0. I had 33 fights, and no losses with 30 knockouts. And my brother, he came up and he said Stonelox, and I said, what's that? And he's like, no, it's just like really strong sleeping tabs. And the spelling was changed, and you know, to make it more fitting for fighting with the knocks and all that.
I love
and,
it.
And that's and it stuck. So I was like, cool, let's give it a try and see what happens.
That's such a better answer than when I asked Colin, who's the guy from Men at Work, who's the lead singer of
Colin Hay.
Colin
Hay. Okay.
So. You know, obviously you can tell he's not from the U.S. just by his accent.
Yeah.
So I asked Colin, what's a Vegemite sandwich?
Right, okay.
Because he's from down under. And right. You know what his response was? There's a thing called Google.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, listen.
Well, at least you were, you know, nice enough.
Yeah,
you know,
nice enough to say, yeah, figure it out.
How do you handle this week? Is it just another week, just another fight week, just another fight, just another person?
Definitely not just another week, but definitely just another fight week, just exactly like all the others, you know, coming in and, you know, I know what to do. I know my body. I know how to cut this weight. I know what to do to be able to perform with the best of my ability. So there's no major changes. Obviously, you know, just a little bit better than the previous time, making sure, like, we're getting a little bit extra. Maybe we came in a little bit earlier, quite a bit earlier this time, to make sure that if there's any advantage to be gained with the climatization being here earlier, we would get it. And you know, just another guy. At the end of the day, I'm fighting for number one contender spot for sure. But you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be I need a win, just like every other fight. It's as important as the previous one.
Yeah. Were you surprised that just another guy is this guy? And not the guy that everybody wants to see you fight.
I honestly want to see you fight. Yeah, I honestly thought that we're going to get that title fight immediately. I really did. But you know, when they phoned me while I was still asleep because of the time zones, and
I just saw my phone, a couple of missed calls from my manager, and I said, oh, cool. And I phoned him back early morning, and he said, so they want to do the Whittaker fight. And I said, well, okay, if that's the fight, you know, I was ready for a fight. And I honestly thought we were going to get the Adesanya fight. There was definitely talks about it. And when he phoned and said, Whittaker is the guy that wants you to fight Whittaker, I said, all right, well, that's the guy then. You know, for me, whether I fight him now, whether I fight him after I've won the belt, it's all the same. And I believe if you, you know, if you don't beat a guy like Whittaker, you don't deserve to be the champion.
Of course. You've got to beat the guy to get to be the guy, you know.
Yes.
But surely, though, beating Robert on Saturday, I mean, how does you and Izzy for the belt, the first UFC card in Africa sound? Is that his kind of dream? Of
that is the dream, and that would be the biggest possible thing that could happen, right?
That would be, I don't know the logistics. I think they're still trying to look at logistics of arenas and space and you know, that kind of stuff.
South Africa is definitely the way to go. I honestly believe
But I don't see anywhere other than South Africa, really, for that kind of fight.
Can I just throw my name in the hat? If it's in South Africa, I can stay at your house?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'll get my plans ready.
Bring a mattress. Yeah.
Bring a mattress.
Bring a mattress and hide your candy. Yeah.
And obviously, this is a no-brainer, but how do you not even think of Israel? How do you not even think of South Africa or Africa? And you know, if you don't handle Saturday, there is no.
Yes, I'm 100% thinking about South Africa, because you know, this fight as important as any other with them, and we are playing the Aussies on Saturday in the rugby.
Yeah,
and they're playing in South Africa. It's a big weekend for us against the Aussies. And no, it's easy not to think about Adesanya. Look at the guy in front of me. If you see Robert Whittaker in front of you, it's easy to not be thinking about anybody else.
Sure.
He is absolutely great, and it's going to take every single thing that I have to beat this guy, and I'm ready to put it all out there.
When you're training for this fight, do you watch his film? Are there things? Because, you know, typically, I would assume, you know, fighters change stuff. You know, I remember one fighter saying, it was Randy Couture when he fought Tim Sylvia for the heavyweight title. He said, I knew that I was going to do these two things, you know, whatever it was, a right and then a leg kick. And I threw the punch and I went to the leg kick and he was gone. He already fell to the ground. So, you know, how do you not think too far ahead?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to go and say, oh, this is what I'm going to do in this fight. 100%. This move. He's going to do that. I'm going to do this. No, you look at the picture as a whole, and you see, you're looking for mistakes that are reoccurring, you're looking for weapons that are reoccurring, and you don't base your whole plan around that, but you do keep that in mind, because you know, you have this footage. It's almost like a skill to be able to make the perfect game plan at this level. You know, I'm strong, Robert Whittaker is strong, I'm fit, he's fit, he's a good striker, I'm a good striker, he's a wrestler. Both of us have that physical skills. Mentally, that's where we are set apart tremendously. And then of course, game plan, going in there, and not game plan in the sense that I have to do this, just implementing my strengths to his weaknesses, or not even his weaknesses, just my strengths, fighting at my strength and not fighting at his strengths. That is the guy who implements the game plan the best is 80% of the time going to win that fight. And that's why I'm not 100% ever going, this guy fights like this, I have to do this. Right. But you keep that in mind, and when you train for a fight, you make sure that, you know, this is where we can exploit in my strength. I can exploit that, and that's where you're looking to hammer. But, you know, in a fight, a lot of fights, this has happened, and after that first round, you go into the corner and say, oh, cool. So the game plan doesn't work at all. It's not like, no, not at all. Like, not one thing worked. Yeah. So let's, and everything goes back to, now it's time to fall back on your all-aroundness and your ability to adapt and overcome.
Yeah. What do you looking at Robert? He's such a well-rounded fighter. Do you, without giving away game plans, we're not going to ask you about game plans, but is there something that you look at him and look at his fights and say, I do this better than him? What would you say that you do better than Robert?
Finish fights.
Yeah,
I think I'm pretty much better at that.
That's a good answer.
That's the answer. That's it.
And also, one thing as well that's come up, because, you know, we spoke in this very room, I believe, I don't know, about 6 months ago, something like that. And since, I suppose, over the last year, you know, you've gone from being someone that would you know, fight maybe on the prelims, then you're going into the main card, then people are knowing your name now, and people are now searching to watch you fight because of the way you fight. You know, you're an entertaining fighter to watch. Have you had any moments over the last sort of year where you kind of look in the mirror and go, wow, people kind of recognize me, people know my name now, you know? I was looking at Alexander Volkanovsky, said he realized he'd actually got to the pinnacle of let's say fame or fight notoriety when Mel Gibson came up to him and said hello to him last week at the Apex. Is that kind of, have you ever had those kind of moments where you kind of go, geez, I'm actually quite well known now?
It's been gradually building and building, and you know, just the events where I fought at, and you know, as you walk out after the fight, and you just see like these people like playing in movies. You see all these, you know, Hollywood royalty, and you know, Donald Trump was at one fight, and I'm 100% like, wow, like these people just watched me perform, and that in itself is amazing. And then, you know, yesterday at the hotel, you know, with fans and stuff, it's amazing, because without that, we don't have a sport. Without that, we have nothing.
Yeah.
Without people wanting to follow us, follow the sport, and you know, that is what makes this whole thing possible. And I was at the hotel, and there were these people, and I mean, I'm a foreigner in the United States, and people just came up to me and wanted a photo, and I said, okay, cool, 100%. And they just had gloves with my name for my signature, and they had photos printed, like HD photos, and I was like, wow, that is insane.
Yeah.
You know, they were looking for me and my autographs and the photos specifically.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever the motive is behind that, that's not the point. You know, if it's to go and sell it or something, that's all good, but you know, it's something worth selling at the end of the day.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's amazing to see, because you know, I'm just living my dream every day, and I'm loving this whole journey.
Brilliant.
So fans are waiting to get your picture, getting your autograph. Is there something you'd like to get either signed or a photo with somebody, or is there that one piece of item that you'd like to acquire?
That's a very good question. I would love Thor's hammer.
Could be the second greatest answer of all time. So I asked an ex Bay Buck. I do did a weekly show with players, and he goes, nothing, you know, I don't need anything. I go, no, you can't get out that way, I need something. And he thinks for a second, he goes, Jesus Christ sandals.
Wow.
I'm like, wow.
He's never getting them.
No. Thor's hammer is up there, though.
Thor's hammer. Yeah, I don't need the real one. Maybe just a prop one. That would be cool.
So, were you obviously Saturday, you know, with it, fight week, all the media and all the nonsense and stuff, will you have, the time, will you be able to watch the South Africa-Australia game?
Yes, I'm going to, because they are playing at 5 p.m. South African time, so that would be... It's going to be early morning in
okay
over here. So
you're going to allow yourself to.
Yeah, we're going to try. So what we can do is we're going to probably be watching on the phone.
Right.
Because you know, Cameron is my teammate Cameron Simon. He's going to be fighting at. So if they're fighting, it's going to be early. What's that? 17 minus 9. What's that? 8. So it's going to be at 8 in the morning. So yeah, we're definitely watching it.
Brilliant. I should be watching too.
Final question. I know you got a lot of other things to do. In the middle of a fight, are you thinking or are you just flowing?
Well, the flow is what you are chasing. I'm chasing that, not thinking. You know, when I get up, I just not knowing what just happened. And it's always like things are just working out, you know, getting that flow state. That's the pinnacle of fighting. And you get that, and sometimes you get that for a while, and then you get a big shot, and you're going back to thinking. But if you're thinking, you're slow. If you're thinking, you are... in your own mind, that's when you start hesitating. And I don't know if you watched my fight, there's not a lot of thinking happening.
Right, no.
It's more about going out there and doing. And as soon as you start thinking, I'm just like, cool, I'm thinking, I'm going to throw something, because to get out of that thinking, there's not a lot of thinking happening when somebody's trying to take you off. And as soon as you do start thinking, that's when your actions are slower, and that's when you... It's almost like people can see, and your opponent can see what you do. I feel like I'm thinking about a certain technique, or I think about doing something, there's no way I'm doing it. Because if I think maybe I should do this, I feel like he can, you know, you are so focused on each other in a fight. It's something you can't explain to anybody else that hasn't been in that situation. You are fixated on every single movement, and you are so aware of every single thing that's happening around you, that I feel when I'm thinking about a technique, somehow that guy can see in my eyes what it is what I want to do. He knows what I want to do. So I'm like, I thought about it. Can't do it right now. Can't do it now. I have to save it for later.
Eve Edwards used to always say, the work is the work. This is fun. This week and then Saturday is your reward for all the hard work that you've done up to this point.
Yes, absolutely. You know, my biggest reward will be, you know, getting making that weight for now. And then the fighting is the fun part, 100%. You know, the effort and the work we do in the fighting, the work is training. The work is going through hell every day. And, you know, the media is fun. A lot of people don't like it. I enjoy this quite, you know, we're talking about the thing that I love most. And, you know, making the weight is a win in itself. It's the fight before the fight and then the fun part of fighting. That's why we do this. That feeling of walking out there and being afraid, not scared, but afraid of failure, and that adrenaline that you're getting of the unknown. You know, you don't know what's going to happen right now. You have an idea and you have this belief, but ultimately there's no way of knowing.
My next weight cut will be my cremation.
Boom, boom.
And we'll end with that. Drakus, thank you very much for stopping by. I want to get your address. We were supposed to send something to you, I think, in Miami or something.
Yes.
And I want, wherever you need it sent, I'll send it to South Africa. Oh. I want to send you a package from 8 Man Strong for coming on and hanging out with us.
And I appreciate that so much. I will just give you that address. That's
we'll
awesome.
Do that. Let's go hit a real quick break. And have fun this week. Have fun on Saturday. And I'll book my flight as soon as the fight's over.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up MMA.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
John Elway, you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza. Tour de Pizza, visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hey, this is Bernie Williams from the Yankees, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, we are back. I know we only have a few minutes, but we've got to end the first hour on a high night. Really? Drake has just walked out. Let's jump back to the phone lines real quick and get our recap from last night. From our weekly correspondent, I know we only have a few minutes, and that's Jason Knight. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I almost missed you. I'm out here at work.
Well, we'll make this real quick, two real quick questions. I'm going to do the obvious one first, and again, we're only talking up through last night. Is there pressure on you now, 6-0, you're up next?
Man, to be honest with you, I was in the back warming up for my fight during Kurt's fight, and my coach came back there and told me that Kurt was about to lose, that he was on bottom and, you know, it didn't look good. So I was very, very, you know, down at that moment. And then about 30 seconds later, Michael Chandler walks through the door screaming, "Yes, yes, Kurt pulled it off. Whoa," you know. And at that point, there was no stopping me. You know, I was so amped up off of the fact that Kurt just got his hand raised. And, you know, at that point, I'm on cloud nine. you know, I'm not having any kind of pressure on me whatsoever and ready to go out and play.
All right, so again, we're only talking up through last night, 5-0 leading up to the fight, now 6-0. What was the whole, or were you really not even able to enjoy the atmosphere because you were in the back warming up?
Yeah, man, it all seemed a little different, you know, watching it on TV. But yes, I was in the back warming up, getting ready for my fight. And at that time, it was, you know, it was time for Jason's turn. You know, it was time for me to go out there and, you know, try to get my win to make us to where we're 7-0. And at that point in my head, you know, there was no way in the world that this guy could beat me, because, you know, like I said, we're on a six-fight win streak, going for number 7. And, you know, after hearing that Kurt got his hand raised, I just felt like there was no way this guy could stop me.
After seeing the clip now for 6 weeks, it was nice to finally see the clip of Connor shoving Chandler laughing. To me, the whole thing was humorous. And then for Chandler to go over and apologize to Team Connor, you know, I would have done. I would assume, and don't respond, I would assume that things are going to get interesting here really, really soon. What was the atmosphere before the fight in the house all week when you're now 5-0?
Man, for us, we were all on cloud 9. You know, we were all expecting, you know, to go 8-0. That was the plan. You know, we all were going out and executing everything the way that it was supposed to go, and we had no intentions of, you know, that slowing down whatsoever. And the other team, you know, they're questioning everything. You can see it in their faces. You can see it, you know, like they're starting to lose their heart a little bit. And, you know, it was nice to kind of be on the opposite end of that.
All right, we are at the top of the hour. We're at the top of the hour, Jason. We have to hit the news. I'll get back to work. I can't wait next week. You're up, and then we get to talk about it next week.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
Jason Knight, our weekly correspondent. Let's hit this break. We're at the top of the hour. 1 hour down, 2 hours to go.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.